This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Let's talk about the new rules associated with the Delta variant, which, despite what some folks are saying, or at least how some folks are acting, have not led to an increase in deaths. Kids are not more susceptible to catching Delta than adults. There is no actual data that has been peer-reviewed indicating that the Delta variant allows people to carry 1,000 times the level of droplets of COVID. It's not that Delta doesn't exist. It does. It's not that COVID is not serious. It is. But we do not have the data available to mandate, to justify these new rules. Guidance coming from the CDC, not a mandate, but guidance that is now being recommended here on a local level, statewide level, from Governor Jay Inslee. He made the announcement yesterday. We're very clearly going down the road of potentially more mandates. And I am not conspiratorial, generally speaking, only about people out to get me personally. But I can't help but wonder, is all of this meant to push this so-called emergency, as they see it, into the midterm elections in a way that will then, of course, harm Republicans? At least that's what I think Democrats believe. Now, am I all in on that conspiracy? No, I'm not. Am I thinking about it? Yeah, I am. Because none of this truly makes sense. Now, first, let's start on a local level, and then we'll get national, because the Biden administration made some big news today in talking about the mandates, or something close to a mandate. You have Jay Inslee saying, hey, even if vaccinated, you should be wearing a mask, and we are encouraging all these businesses to force people to wear a mask as well. Those are the rules. We're following the guidance. And in a state like Florida or Texas or North Dakota, maybe in certain cities like a Sultan, a city like Lakewood, Longview, smaller cities in Washington State, you would expect some level of pushback. You would expect some understanding that the rules don't really match up with the science and the data. But when we're talking about folks who live in Seattle or Everett or Tacoma, some of the bigger left-leaning or left-dominated cities, you get total open compliance, which of course makes it easier for politicians to impose these rules that don't make sense. Eric Hakkinen, he opened Roquette. Is that a restaurant that's trendy, that all the kids want to go to?
You think I know trendy restaurants that kids want to go to?
You definitely don't know trendy restaurants. You do know restaurants.
I know restaurants.
But not the trendy ones. You go for inexpensive and big servings.
Oh yeah, I need quantity over quality.
He opened Roquette months before the pandemic, just a few months. And he tells Cairo 7 TV, yeah, he's all in favor of these new rules.
If you're not vaccinated, just please don't come in.
Don't come in if you're not vaccinated, he says. Cairo spoke to a patron named Jerry. Get the vaccine.
I think it should be mandatory. If more people had been vaccinated, maybe we wouldn't have had this Delta variation.
So this is someone who doesn't understand how viruses work.
Are you sure? Jerry sounded like a scientist there.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not how it works. Here's the deal. And this is why I am somewhat sounding the alarms of where we're going, is there will always be a variant. Did you know that there is a different strain of flu every single year? Did you know that the flu strain changes? That's why sometimes the vaccine that you have works really, really well, and sometimes not so well. Did you know that? You know why that happens? Because the virus, unless you completely eradicate it somehow, and it's certainly possible to completely eradicate, not going to be easy, it's possible, but so long as it's there, it mutates. You get different variants. We're always going to, you think it's going to end at Delta? What about the Lambda? Did you know that there's a Lambda variant that right now, I think it's mostly in Illinois, but that's going to spread too. And if it's not going to be that, it's going to be something else. And it's going to go all the way down to Zeta. We're always going to have these variants. So this idea that, oh, well, if everyone was vaccinated, hey, dum-dum, I'm told that even vaccinated people can get COVID. We certainly know that you're not going to get 100% compliance with the vaccine, right? So even at 99% vaccination, folks are still going to pass around COVID. But Jerry wants it to be mandated. Are we going to hold people down and jab them in the arm? Not just once, but twice? Is that the goal? Is that the plan? We're going to mandate it? How do you mandate someone get a vaccine if they don't want it? Now, we know that you get some of the strategies, like Biden announced, we should pay people $100 to get the shot. Let's give someone $2 off us an ice cream cone to convince them. But he wants it mandated. Got it. Shake Shack decided that they're going to mandate vaccination if you want to work there or if you want to be a customer. The founder's name is Danny Meyer. Everyone was all excited about the Shake Shack that opened in Seattle. Lines around the block before the pandemic. He says safety is our number one concern.
We're following the lead of both city, state, and federal government, and we're going to do this ourselves in our restaurants in New York City and in Washington, D.C., our full-service restaurants, to require that all staff members be vaccinated and also to require that guests who want to dine indoors in our restaurants show proof that they've been vaccinated. We feel like we've got an amazing responsibility to keep our staff members and our guests safe, and that's what we're going to do.
Now, is it about keeping everyone safe, or is it maybe about your belief that this will increase business?
I actually believe, Andrew, that this is going to make even more people want to dine with us. I think.
Oh, so then just real quickly, let's not frame this around safety. Let's frame this around the honest answer here, is that you think it's going to do you well financially. So something tells me it would be a slightly different story if he came out and said, look, we're going to do this even though we're certain it's going to hurt us financially. No, we're going to do this. And by the way, we're going to benefit from this. We're going to make so much money, he claims.
I think that the vast majority of people who dine out, especially indoors, don't want to see us go back to how things were, where we had either no opportunity to serve people indoors, or last September, for the first time, we could serve 25% capacity. That is so yesterday. We know right now that the vaccine works. And it's time to make sure that this economy continues to move forward. There's just no going back.
Oh, but a hero, though, because you'll make a whole bunch of money at the same time. Now, President Biden today said that it's now mandated that federal workers get vaccinated or undergo regular testing. Who called the whole regular testing narrative a few weeks ago? Do you remember?
I think it was a radio host in Seattle.
It's weird.
AM 77.
Who did I say was going to get rich off of this?
Bill Gates.
Yeah. And maybe George Soros, both of whom just bought testing technology, a company that does quick tests, like over-the-counter kinds. It's weird how that all works. But today they went one step forward when Peter Doocy from Fox News asked the press secretary, in this case the deputy press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, about whether or not we're going to return to lockdowns.
President Biden says that we are not returning to lockdowns, shutdowns, and school closures. But he also once said that we didn't have to wear masks anymore once we were vaccinated. So why should Americans trust him now?
Well, because we listen to the scientists. We listen to the expert. This is a public health situation. This is not about politics at all. This is about saving lives. And this is what the president is all about. He wants to make sure that we are saving lives. If you look at, Peter, the last 6 months, that's what he's done every day. And you see that in the numbers. Now we're at a point where we have to double down and make it very, very clear to people that We can't let the pandemic win.
I'm just sorry. You just said he was saving a bunch of lives in the last 6-7 months. But are we closing down because lives are being lost? Because you just said we're saving lives doing, up until recently, nothing new. So he was saving lives, but within the last 24 hours. Oh my gosh. We got to change it up.
Have to continue to fight.
So if you're listening to the science, if scientists come to you at some point down the line and say, it is our opinion that there should be shutdowns and there should be school closures, you would do that?
Well, we listen to, like I said, we listen to the CDC and the expert and their guidance. The CDC is a body that is very well respected.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're very well respected. Just when the CDC told us not to wear masks, were they right or wrong? Were they right or wrong? Biden administration. So we listened to them then. They're definitely never wrong. So now you're telling me if the CDC unelected folks come to you and say we need more lockdowns, maybe say around midterm elections, you'll just go ahead and we're all in. So when you said we're not going back to lockdowns, that was a lie. When Joe Biden said, if you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear masks anymore, that was a lie. Why not then just say, right now, the science suggests X, Y, and Z, and we're going to listen to the science. And right now, the science means you do this, you get this. He didn't do that. He just said, if you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, guess what? So when he said, we're not going back to lockdowns, I mean, I guess that was also a lie. And when people don't trust the leaders, when people don't trust the science, well, then we see chaos. Then we see people doing whatever it is they want to do. And I'm wondering how close we are to that. I'm honestly wondering whether or not we're closer to that than people want to realize. It is Thursday. Just want to remind you that every single Thursday, I do the Jason Rantz Show video update on all of our social media channels. It's brought to you by the Novak team, powered by Keller Williams. Visit them online at meetthenovaks.com. Go anywhere. I've got a social media channel. You'll get to see today's video as I tackle the hate crime that wasn't out in the city of Burien. Claimed by the mayor. Didn't actually happen the way he said, or his interpretation is flatly wrong. You can watch that video up at Facebook, Twitter. It'll be up on the YouTube channel. Just go everywhere. Thanks to our sponsors, the Novak team, powered by Keller Williams. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
This is one of those stories that's incredibly important to pay attention to because it goes exactly to the concerns folks have been raising as it relates to the new reimagining of police laws. We didn't have to reimagine police, but Derek Chauvin is clearly a representation of all police everywhere, particularly in Washington State. Data doesn't suggest it, but we've got dirty, rotten cops, and something needs to be done. We have to go after policing to stop the rise in crime, even though the rise of crime has been happening as they've defunded police officers all across, or police departments all across the state of Washington, and really in the cities that defunded saw huge increases in crime. But we'll ignore that because we want to reimagine policing. So they instituted a whole bunch new policies, 13 laws covering all sorts of things, including the use of force. There's something called reasonable suspicion and something called probable cause. The bar for reasonable suspicion is much lower than probable cause. Reasonable suspicion, they make it really, really easy to understand. A reasonable police officer is suspicious that someone committed a crime. Might have committed a crime. Might know someone who committed a crime. And it would give them some additional leeway in the way that they deal with suspects or potential suspects. Probable cause, much, much, much higher to meet. The burden is higher. That's obviously a problem when it comes to some of these investigations that officers are trying to deal with immediately, in the moment. For example, in Puyallup, last night, about 10:20 or so, there was a shooting outside of a Kohl's parking lot on Meridian Avenue East. Police arrive. They found a man shot in the parking lot. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, a canine unit came to the scene of the crime relatively quickly. But they didn't actually track the suspect because of the new police accountability laws that went into effect on Sunday, Sergeant Darren Moss from Pierce County Sheriff.
We did have a canine officer respond within a couple minutes, but unfortunately, because there was no probable cause developed yet for an individual, they decided not to track with the canine, just so that in case if they did use force, they wouldn't be outside of the policy or the new laws.
You see, they didn't have probable cause in this case because they didn't know who the suspect was. Even if they had a witness saying, well, so-and-so was wearing a black shirt and a green hat and it was about 5, even that doesn't necessarily give you probable cause. And so because it didn't exist, they pulled back their canine unit. Because any one of those officers who ended up making an arrest based on a canine sniffing out a potential suspect, and it turns out that suspect, even if the suspect was the actual criminal, according to the law, they would be in violation and could potentially lose their certification to be an officer. And so all they have to go off of, according to the witnesses, was a suspect who was a man in dark clothing. That could literally be Peyton.
Well, this shirt's burgundy.
It's dark.
Okay.
Dark red.
What about my jeans? I have light jeans on.
Yeah, but at night everything is dark.
Okay. I guess I'm a suspect now.
So now what? Now what? Are you okay with this policy? Because if you're not, what are you doing about it? I am kind of curious what y'all are doing about it. We've said multiple times to be that one person who makes that one phone call, sends that one email, is that one person who steps up and says to a lawmaker, whether it's your congressperson, your council member, your state rep, whatever, to step up and say something, do something, advocate on behalf of you, your family, your community. How many people have done that? How many people have called the Attorney General's office and said, hey, could you provide us some guidance? Because we know that the law says you don't have to give us a model policy until I believe it's July of next year. Could you maybe step up and do it sooner? Because we have officers who are either confused by the intent versus the way that your horrible law was written, or you've got officers who are not engaging, maybe in opposition to what the law was supposed to have them engage in. Could you step up? Are you making those calls? Are you sending those emails? Did you vote yet? Did you vote? Did you make sure that we keep in office the people who need to be kept in office, like Nate Nehring, Snohomish County Council member? Did you vote for Seattle City Attorney Ann Davison, who we're going to talk about in a couple moments? Oh, no, it was the election stolen, so you're not going to vote anymore. Are we in a position where we're going to think that nothing can be done? Okay, give up. You giving up, not taking on this fight, means, guess what? We have police who don't feel like they have anyone looking out for them, and we have criminals who know how to get away scot-free by exploiting these laws. We can change this, but you need to step up. Tell me if you are. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Again, don't forget, weekly video update of The Jason Rand Show, brought to you by the Novak team, powered by Keller Williams. Visit them online at meetthenovaks.com. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. I will be on Fox News primetime today and America's Newsroom tomorrow. I hope you will tune in. If you're not able to, don't worry, because we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jason Rants, where you can go and catch up on any of my appearances on Fox News. We'll be talking a lot about policing and the direction the state is going. And as we often say on this show, it all starts in Seattle. Unfortunately, it all starts in Seattle. Bad policies have a tendency to spread, and bad ideas, bad faith activists also play a big role in all of this. Those ideas spread, those activists inspire. And right now in the city of Seattle, we are approaching a possible worst case scenario in the race for city attorney. And your attention to this is imperative. Taking this on with a sense of urgency is the most important thing that you can do right now. we might end up with two candidates who don't want to prosecute criminals, which, of course, as you know, fuels the city's crime surge. And we're in the middle of a crime surge. One of the candidates that could make it to the general is a police and jail abolitionist. And polling right now suggests that that is certainly possible. We've got a three-way tie right now between Pete Holmes, moderate Republican Ann Davison, who you need to vote for, and a fringe abolitionist by the name of Nicole Thomas Kennedy. She is so far to the left, she actually makes Pete Holmes look conservative. Now, if it's a general election between Holmes and Thomas Kennedy, guess what? You might truly be forced to pick between the lesser of two evils when one candidate's positions truly are evil. Because Thomas Kennedy doesn't hide her views, and they are extreme. She's not hiding from them. She brands herself with them. And of course, who's really excited right now? The militant activist base of Seattle. It is nuts. It is absolutely nuts. The public defender, Thomas Kennedy, who's running for Seattle City Council, Seattle City Attorney, she calls herself an abolitionist. She calls herself that, not me. She calls it. She doesn't believe in most prosecutions. She says she will effectively legalize misdemeanors. Like so many ignorant ideologues, she claims the criminal justice system is racist. It's a system of oppression. And it's, of course, up to white heroes like herself to dismantle that system of oppression. Kind of sounds like critical race theory in action, huh? According to The Stranger, she did an interview with them, and she said she wants to cut the city attorney's criminal division. Oh, and of course, she wouldn't be prosecuting most misdemeanors. She said in this piece, the prosecutor's ethical duty is to seek justice, but there's no justice in prosecuting people for crimes of survival and poverty or in making the lives of people in desperate situations worse. The very least that the city attorney could do is to stop prosecuting people for most misdemeanors. Now, of course, Nicole Thomas Kennedy ignores her ethical duty to the victims of misdemeanor crimes, the ones her office are supposed to represent. She wouldn't be a prosecutor, even though she would be in that position. She would be a public defender going up against another public defender, which means the bad guys, they go free. She looks like so many others that if a homeless person or some petty criminal breaks into your car, well, guess what? You're privileged because you have that car. And if this policy of hers that she is putting out there sounds familiar, you'll recall we covered it on this show extensively. Councilmember Lisa Herbold of West Seattle or North Bend. She promoted the exact same policy, but at the time it was pulled because a lot of people were outraged. A misperception, willful or otherwise, informs Nicole Thomas Kennedy's positions on what's happening in Seattle. She pretends that the current system is tough on criminals. Do you think the current system is tough or too tough on criminals? She said in this interview, we punish the bleep out of people and we think that's justice. Do we? Have we? Is that true? She said, we've all been hypnotized into thinking that a lack of severe consequences for things means a lack of justice. But that's not what accountability looks like, and that's not what solves the problem. Is what she's saying there, do you think that that is based in any reality? Because it's not. Because in Seattle, we rarely punish criminals. We have people who, despite having dozens and dozens and dozens of arrests and even convictions, not actually being punished. We have permissive policies that allow criminals to go free, and they know that. It's why we have such a significant repeat offender problem. And it's why we're experiencing this surge in crime. Now, in that case, that's because of Pete Holmes, right? His inaction in his office caused these problems. What do you think is going to happen if Thomas Kennedy is there? She's going to make them so much worse. Many of the crime problems could be solved if we had a city attorney who actually prosecutes criminals. The ones who show no willingness to change their behavior. It's not for a lack of trying. Understand, the city offers resources, offers programs to help these criminals. whether they're turning towards crime because of an addiction or a mental health issue, whatever it is, we offer help. And they often say no. And as a result, they end up creating more victims with policies like this. Holmes, Thomas, Kennedy, they're in that same boat, just one is more extreme. But they love to play a literal white knight, coming to the help, to the defense of people of color who are struggling. Hey, where would you be if not for me, white progressive? But they dismiss the complaints from you, from other victims, because the victims are perceived as privileged. They don't seem to acknowledge in the Seattle City Attorney's Office, in the Thomas Kennedy campaign, they don't acknowledge privilege means you don't pay consequences for breaking the law consistently. This is an important race because the Seattle City Attorney has prosecutorial discretion. They could be really, really simple and say, you know what? We will be prosecuting crimes that currently go unpunished, which means the police will hear, hey, I can actually do my job. They will feel empowered to do their jobs, to arrest the criminals causing most of these problems in our communities. And we, members of the community, can feel better about the fact that the people who need to be in jail are. So it's not a threatening, ominous feeling when you walk in a park with your kids or when you walk a few blocks to go get coffee. You don't feel so uncomfortable wondering whether or not you're going to be the latest victim. And at that point, because of the prosecutorial discretion, it doesn't matter what the Socialist Seattle City Council says. It doesn't matter who's mayor. They don't control the crimes that are prosecuted. Ann Davison, who is a former council candidate, she promises to prosecute the criminals, the ones who show no remorse, no interest in behavioral changes. She will go after them. I believe her. I believe her. Because she is someone in a city that makes it seem like it's wrong to punish bad guys. She's coming out and being honest about her intent. This poll by the Northwest Progressive Institute, the poll that Cairo 7 TV, for example, calls surprisingly tight, it is a statistical tie between these three candidates. Now, I'm not surprised that Holmes is doing so poorly for an incumbent. He should be. He's awful. I'm surprised that Thomas Kennedy is doing as well as Davison. That indicates to me that voters aren't paying close enough attention to what these candidates actually stand for. Because a lot of times, voters don't do their homework, particularly in primaries, and they will literally vote for a name that sounds appealing to them. Well, this name sounds interesting. I trust this name. So it's on all of us, all of you, to make sure that people vote for Ann Davison and know who Thomas Kennedy actually is. And so I need you to text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text with the keyword RANTZ, and I'm going to send you my story on this issue, on this candidate. Not just so you could read, which obviously you should, but so you spread it everywhere. Get the word out about what's on the line and why it's so important to vote. Too many times, particularly in primaries, particularly in off presidential election years, the numbers are really, really low. That benefits Nicole Thomas Kennedy, the abolitionist, because who ends up voting? The professional activists. The ones with no jobs, the ones whose lives are about their activism. It is so important for you to step up. Are you going to step up? Break this entire texting system by texting the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's get this taken care of. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast. Then you won't miss a second of the show. And that's the only way to enjoy the show, by listening to the stuff that you miss. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Text podcast to 1-800-465-8770. The Seattle Public School District announced that they intend to clean up the homeless encampment that neighbors the Broadview Thompson K through 8 in September. Now, it was an announcement that was actually made a few days ago, and we didn't cover it at the time because, number one, I didn't feel like getting incredibly upset and starting to yell about how little the district cares about the kids. And number two, because I don't even believe it's going to be cleaned up. This idea that you're going to wait until September, which is a long time away, to clear out a growing encampment, an encampment that isn't just growing, but it's dangerous. You're going to wait when it's right next to a school, right next to staff. Taking over a park is just obscene. But I wanted to remind you of that because the story in Seattle of the attack against a woman working at the King County Courthouse could be a sign of what's to come at K through 8 Broadview Thompson. A suspect is in custody after an assault that took place in a bathroom at the King County Courthouse. Now, the early suggestions is this is potentially a homeless person. Don't know the details. Not going to speculate beyond, I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. I wouldn't be surprised given the fact that right next door to the county courthouse is what? This growing homeless encampment. An encampment that the courthouse judges have been complaining about for months, telling people in the city, you need to clear it. You need to clean it. You need to take care of this. Because it's dangerous. People who work here, jurors who come here, they are scared. They are scared. And now we have a report of an assault of an unidentified 35-year-old man staying in a bathroom when a female employee entered and then got attacked, according to the reports. Now, we're getting mixed signals as to some of the details. We were told it was some type of sexual assault, but police have not confirmed that. They're saying that's still under investigation. Police said the man entered the courthouse before the attack without any issue. The woman, this employee, was able to scream as she was being attacked in the bathroom. Thankfully, someone inside the building was able to show up and help her fight off this attacker and then apprehend him. Now, the entrance to the ladies' bathroom was cordoned off by yellow crime scene tape, according to Como TV. Now, they too are reporting that the suspect might be connected to the encampment that has grown, we'll just say. I was going to say festered, but let's just say grown outside, feet away. It was the site of a stabbing homicide. A homeless man is accused who was living there of stabbing someone to death. We told you the story of the homeless man who killed the dog of an owner who was walking by a senior citizen. You have nonstop reports of that encampment causing serious danger, and the city has done nothing. The city has done nothing. They let it stay there and grow, despite a homicide, despite killing a dog, despite the attacks, despite the violence. They let it sit there because they claim it lacks compassion to clean it up. Tell that to this woman who was potentially sexually assaulted. Certainly we know assaulted according to the details. Tell that to the victims and their families that it lacks compassion to clean up an encampment that has been the site of a homicide and so much violence. Say it. Say it directly to the victim. They talk around these issues in the city of Seattle, but I can't help but wonder about this encampment and this latest attack at the building next door. I can't think of this and ignore Broadview Thompson K through 8 and how quite literally two steps away from the playground where kids use, there's a growing encampment that has had similar issues of concern, similar dangers. The question then becomes, will the city act now at this encampment in City Hall Park now that someone at the courthouse has been attacked? Maybe. We've talked about this, what seems to be a strategy of waiting until the very last minute before getting involved. And then once you're basically forced due to an emergency, like an assault or stabbing, you would clear it up. Do we have to wait that long? As it relates to Broadview Thompson K through 8, do we have to wait that long until one of the homeless people hurts a child? Because we know that there's been an overdose death at this park. We know that weapons have been found at this park. We know that as a result of this encampment at the park, that the school has gone on lockdown at least two times. We have the reports of an individual breaking into the school, someone who should not have been there. They believe it was tied to the homeless encampment. Nothing has been done. So when I see a story telling me that the hope is that we'll clear it up in September, in the back of my mind, I honestly wonder if it's going to be too late by then. Does a kid have to suffer before they sweep that encampment? Because apparently they had to wait until a female employee at the King County Courthouse was assaulted, potentially sexually assaulted, and we still don't even know if they're going to clear this thing up. And of course, it's happening at a time where we're seeing a rise in crime, particularly with homelessness. Some 17% of the shots fired are coming in this city from homeless encampments. We have had, of course, the stories that we've covered, over 180 instances on freeways of debris, rocks, rebar being thrown at vehicles by homeless people in the encampments. And nothing is done. We said it in the last segment. You've got an election coming up, a Seattle City Attorney's race that's important, council race is important, mayor's races are important, and for too many people, they don't actually vote. They think it's a lost cause. Okay, well, it's definitely going to be a lost cause so long as you don't vote. Or you can pick up that ballot and send it in. You have until Tuesday. You want to save this city, if you want to save the neighboring cities, because you know this stuff spreads, you know, make sure you vote. Or just continue to go about, do what you do. Feel like it's a lost cause or an election's going to be stolen and just sit the process out. Meanwhile, some kid at Broadview Thompson K-8, God forbid, might get hurt. And we'll probably have another story of another employee over at the King County Courthouse or any of the businesses surrounding that encampment getting hurt. Yeah, big deal. Sit it out. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text.